Welcome to Paint Radio with your hosts, Andrew Dwyer and Kevin Hoffman.
Heck yeah, let's do a podcast, the favorite, Paint Radio, the APC podcast. I'm Andrew Dwyer, publisher of APC. Kevin Hoffman, editor-in-chief of APC. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing well. Hello to everybody out there listening and watching.
And that is one of the things I want to talk about, because we've been having so much. I mean, we always have fun with the podcast, but it's even been more fun, like many things this year, perhaps because it's APC's 100th anniversary. But we've dialed up the sophistication on the Paint Radio podcast in that it's now video. But we've also changed how we market it. We've got a fresh new logo. You've brought a lot of that energy, Kevin, and I'm having a ton of fun with it. What has your experience? I tend to have more fun than my partner, just, you know, because you know how it is. I'm a bit of a drag. How is it on your end, Kevin?
It's great. I think this is the third one I've done, and it's great meeting everybody. Great getting that information out there. I'm learning a lot myself, and so hopefully the people at home are learning as well and enjoying it.
Yeah, it is. I think hopefully we're all proud of what we produce, whether that's content, a podcast, a magazine article, paint job, a novel. But there's so much more to it. I have a friend who just came out with a book, and gosh, a nonfiction like business book, self-improvement. And that's quite an accomplishment. But she has had to work her tail off on LinkedIn promoting the heck out of that, because, of course, it's all about pre-orders. If you don't reach a certain number of pre-orders, the publisher is only going to print a limited copy. And of course, if you only have a limited copy, it's just not going to get as much love. Marketing and promotion, such a huge part of what we all do. And of course, as editor-in-chief, you're creating a ton of content, but based on just the wealth of experience you have, you bring a lot of great ideas about marketing. And so we're talking sort of about a subset of marketing today. We're talking about branding. And maybe we're talking about this just to have an excuse to bring on one of our favorite people, Lacey Ilsley of AI Painting Plus in Columbia, Missouri. Lacey, thanks for coming back to the podcast. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, indeed. The Ilsleys, kind of the first family of Paint Radio. Lacey with her husband, Austin, run AI Painting Plus in Columbia. And they, of course, were part of our Mission Vacation series. Did a ton of podcasts on that. They've been on the podcast for other reasons as well. And probably when your kids are old enough, Lacey, they should be on too, I'm guessing. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah, we can plan on that.
Let's do it. But today we're talking about branding. Lacey, let's start there. How would you distinguish branding as opposed from marketing? Let's really isolate what it is we're talking about when we talk about branding.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I feel like branding is more of creating that unique identity or image of your company to your clients, your potential clients. It's, you know, kind of your company's name, logo, design, just your overall image. It kind of separates you from your competitors. Marketing is more of what strategies you're going to utilize, your tactics to promote the company to drive sales would be, I think, a big one. You know, your brand is your is like a positive perception of the company.
Yeah.
To in the minds of your potential clients. So
I like that. So your brand or your logo, I don't know. I do not have a marketing degree, which will shock no one. I don't know if there's a difference between a brand and a logo. But the brand is part of branding, right? But not, it doesn't encompass all of branding. So maybe the your brand is kind of like a connotation, right? All words have a connotation, how you feel about it. I think of a company like Yeti. They certainly have a brand of adventure and high quality. And man, let's go out and have fun. Am I on target that it has something to do with maybe a connotation, the feeling you get when you hear the words?
That's exactly right. That's exactly what it is. Yeti is a great example of that. Everything you just said, that's exactly what branding is. And it's hard for anybody in the construction industry to brand. So, yeah.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Hyde Tools. If there's one thing that every job site and workshop can't get enough of, it's being clean and safe. That's where Hyde's new dust-free vacuum scraper comes in. The R&D team at Hyde thought, what if we took our best-selling pull scraper and combined it with our best-selling lineup of dust-free sanders? Boom, the dust-free vacuum scraper was born. It sucks up paint chips and debris as you go, keeping your worksite and you cleaner and safer. It includes a 6-foot vacuum hose and coupling adapter, and it's compatible with the wet dry vac you already own. The long-lasting carbide blade, which is also included, can be sharpened over and over again. And if you need it, replacements are available anytime at HideTools.com. And worry no more about your knuckles, people, because the banana-shaped non-slip grip handle was specifically designed to protect your hand and knuckles while scraping. Last but not least, the pull knob on top is great for pulling, of course, but it also doubles as a hammerhead when you need to reset loose nails. So go learn more now at HideTools.com.
So Lacey, you know, I think the cliche in this industry is a truck, you know, with a paintbrush or a roller on the side of it. I think that's as far as a lot of companies get with their branding efforts. Maybe you could give some examples of some good brands or ways that people have differentiated themselves in this business. And then also talk a little bit about, you know, the ideation that you would go through to come up with that brand. I mean, we talked about Yeti and what they stand for, but how does a paint company know what process do they go through to kind of figure out who are we in the marketplace?
Yeah. You know, as far as brands for painting contractors, you're exactly right. And before this podcast, I was trying to, you know, really rack my brain of who have I seen that has a really good brand, and a couple different companies popped up. You know, really, again, it's what differentiates you from your competitors. So you're thinking about branding, you know, you've got your vision and your mission statement, maybe your core values. Your brand should really encompass all of that. Whether it's on social media or, you know, you think about when you're creating your website is your brand. What's that message that you're portraying to your potential clients? So if it's, you know, a logo, do you have kind of a tagline in that logo? What is that, again, that message that you're trying to relay to your potential clients? So, you know, for us, it's painting joy into people's homes. So our brand is 5-star service, making sure that our customers are happy 100% of the time. So that's kind of our overall brand. Everything that we do is around that painting joy, as far as branding goes and marketing as well. So everybody's a little bit different. If it's a service, maybe your brand is a niche. Maybe you do something different than everybody else, and that's kind of the brand that you're going with. Maybe it's, you know, more of luxury items. Maybe the colors that you're using in your logo are more, you know, more luxury related, more elegant colors, I guess I should say. If you're a company that really focuses on, in a painting company, green, you know, more eco-friendly, maybe you're using more green colors. You know, it's you have to really think about all the elements of colors and your motto or your tagline, everything that kind of comes in together, I would say.
So to what extent, if any, is your brand directly related to your target market? So Mike, I would guess if you live in a, you know, in Savannah or you Beacon Hill in Boston and your target is high-end historic repaint, I'm guessing your brand would and should focus on that. But if you're more of just a, you know, we're residential painter, so it's not as specific, then your brand would not be target or market specific. Is that accurate or am I wrong?
No, yeah, I mean, absolutely. Again, you know, your marketing is going to be more of what are you doing to speak to that exact client that you're looking for. But branding should definitely be tailored to your target market. So like you said, for like historic homes, maybe your branding is emphasizing more of like craftsmanship and respecting of like heritage in general. If it's more commercial, then, you know, maybe it's geared more towards industrial types of coatings and things like that. So you're the eyes of general contractors are more towards you, things like that. So, I mean, the branding is just going to differ in the tone and design based off of what your company is, if you're residential or luxury or commercial, things like that.
So if I live out, if I'm big into fly fishing, I just personally love fly fishing and I live in fly fishing country. And so my company is called Fly Painting and my logo is a fly. And does that make sense? Or if I love pickleball, because pickleball is all the craze these days. And so now, and I just started my company. So it's called Pickle Painting and there's a pickleball paddle. Is that effective or is that horrific branding?
I don't think it's horrific. Everybody's going to be a little bit different. You know, we're AI painting and we hear all the time, like, where's AI come from? Like, well, my husband, Austin Ilsley, he started it. Is it great? Would I love to rebrand 100%? But at this point, it, you know, that would be really hard to do. So I think, you know, whether it's your last name or something that you're into, I don't think that the name of your company has to be your brand necessarily, but the brand can be incorporated in it. And, you know, if you're like for us, AI Painting started over 10 years ago, the brand was just developed maybe 3 years ago. So, it doesn't have to be all the same, the name of the company, if that makes sense. I like the fly fishing though. I'm getting ideas.
You talked earlier about what separates brand from marketing. And I think you kind of, a good way to sum it up is that marketing is around trying to get leads for the business. Whereas brand is certainly it's more of a halo effect that you're trying to establish in terms of establishing your identity. But how do you, I mean, they obviously intersect. So how do you incorporate brand into marketing? I mean, is it as simple as just using the logo and the color scheme or is it more complicated than that?
No, I mean, I think your brand should seamlessly be integrated into all aspects of your marketing in some way. Again, like with your website or social media, anything like that, it needs to stay consistent. The message that you're portraying needs to be the same across all those platforms. Just to help, you know, when you think about, like for us, when we are branding or marketing, I should say, but it's a part of our brand is, you know, if we're doing a radio ad or we're in a magazine, or I kind of think of it as, again, marketing is you're driving your sales, you know, you need leads now. Branding is like filling like the cups up and everything, like so that they might not need you right now. They might not need painting right now, but they know you, they know your brand, they hear you, they see you everywhere. So branding isn't, you don't brand your company on social media and that's all you're doing. I have a website and I have Facebook or Instagram and now I'm building my brand. Like you can start there, but you eventually have to brand out or go out of just those, you know, like doing other things so that your community really gets to know who you are. And then when they do need painting, it's, oh, you know, I'm going to call AI Painting because I hear them and I see them all over the place. Like that's kind of building their brand. And then we hear it all the time of like, oh, you know, AI Painting. And then they'll repeat like our tagline to us. Like, we know you, I'm going to call you. They think about it. It's like one of those little jingles that gets stuck in your head all the time. Like just in the middle of nowhere, just singing a little jingle that you heard on the radio. Then you're going to call that pest control company when you need to get rid of something, some spiders or whatever in your house. So I hope that makes sense.
No, it makes great sense. I mean, I guess I was thinking brand in terms of visual identity. And it didn't even occur to me that there's this whole other thing with jingles and commercials and all these other ways that you can represent yourself. You mentioned earlier how much of a Herculean endeavor it would be to rebrand AI Painting. Obviously, you guys came up with the name before artificial intelligence was on everybody's lips, and so it has a different meaning that people assume now.
Yeah.
But you know, I think you know, for contractors that are listening to this, I think they would want to know how much should they be spending on branding. You know, obviously, when you're doing marketing, you know, these leads have a you can easily, you know, translate into an ROI. You know, okay, I, you know, put out this much money in marketing and Facebook, and this is how much I get back coming in the door, and you can optimize that. But it seems like branding would be a little more flying in the dark. Like, how do you know how much you should be spending, and how do you know if it's effective?
Yeah, I mean, I would say every company is a little bit different. You should be spending based off of your size and what your goals are. I think in our industry, this whole like talking about how much you should be spending on marketing and branding is still kind of new. So the percentage for the industry, I think, is still a little low based off of what a lot of other industries are. I think now, I think as a whole industry is like 3 to 5%. I think 5 is a good percent, 5, maybe even 5 to 7, really just depends again on your company. You know, if you're a small startup, I think it's really crucial to invest more for branding so you can really come out of the gate strong if you have the funds to do that. I know obviously that is not realistic for most people. It just kind of depends on what you have to work with as far as that goes. But you talked a little bit about ROI for branding. That is hard. I know with us, we ask everybody, every lead that comes in, where'd you hear about us? How'd you hear about us? And we track everything. But then tracking from that lead that sold, like a lot of times for us, we advertise on lots of different avenues. So again, we're in magazines, we're on radio, we're doing social media, we're doing postcards, we do all these things. And so they might say, oh, I found you on Google, but really they heard you or saw you someplace else. It's just Google tends to be the thing that everybody says. Or hey, I know I've heard you on the radio. I hear, you know, painting joy into people's homes. Like, I know that's what you guys do. And then to the ROI to track, I personally have not found the best way to do that. I wish I had a good answer. It's just very hard compared to how much you're spending on just marketing. In a roundabout way. That was a long answer to your question, but
so, oh, this is such good stuff, Lacey. Painting joy into people's homes. That's your tagline, motto, same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do you find that it's easier to accomplish your branding goals on Facebook and radio? And it's easier on Facebook and radio, but it's harder in magazine. I mean, to what extent, if any, do you tweak and change and adjust your branding to the marketing platform?
That's a really great question. So I think for us, branding has been more beneficial on the radio, which I know sounds really weird. Nobody does radio anymore. Again, though, keep in mind, we're in the middle of the country, Smaller towns all around us. A lot of people listen to radio, especially like talk radio. So they hear us a lot on there. It's just different. So you can't, I mean, when you're on Facebook, more of a visual marketing platform, the concept of painting joy into people's homes is a little bit different. It's more of like, we'll market a lot of our team and how we invest in our team, which then makes them happy, which then they bring it on to our clients. So then when people are calling us, they're like, oh, I see your team online all the time. I see that, you know, I just love what you guys do on social media. It kind of all is this, it kind of is comes all 360, I guess I should say. If that makes sense. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, absolutely. So yeah. And so, I think you did answer my next question even, which is it easier to effectively communicate and instill your brand to strike that emotional chord, to connect, to engage the listener and connect with the listener on some platforms rather than others?
Yeah, I think they're all just different and they all offer some unique advantages. Again, like I said, Facebook or Instagram is more like visual storytelling and it just engages your customers a little, or your potential clients a little bit differently. Like websites are more of like a comprehensive space that shows everything about your brand, your values, your services. You know, direct mail, usually you're going to be doing direct mail to really drive sales, but also it has to have some local branding efforts as well. I think it's just making sure that you're consistent across all platforms. I don't know if there's any that is better suited than any other. I think every company is different. Some companies will only do Instagram, they won't do anything else, and they do great. And some companies, you know, like us, we kind of branch to all different things and that's what works for us. So it just kind of depends on where you're located, I would say. What are other companies doing in your community that you see are doing well? It doesn't have to be other painting companies. For us, there's a specific pest control company that we kind of mimic because they just do an amazing job and everybody knows their name and everybody, like if you need pest control, that's why I use them as an example. You immediately think of them and that's what we're trying to do in the painting world in our community. So it's just different. Depends on
we bring joy at. Into your home by killing the ruthless invaders. Yeah. Is that how they brand themselves?
Yeah, it's cute. They have like bugs talking in their commercials and on all their branding is like in the bug's perspective, which is sad, but also funny. They make it funny. And so, yeah.
If you're going to die, you want to die at the hands of Acme Pest Control. There's no prouder moment.
Lacey, I mean, you're obviously killing it. You're on every different channel. You're doing out-of-home postcards. You're doing radio jingles. I mean, that's pretty far advanced, I think, for a lot of painting contract businesses. How are you managing to do all that? I mean, do you have a dedicated person on staff who is, you know, in charge of that kind of branding? Is it something you're handling yourself? I'm just kind of curious as to, we've got, you know, painting companies of all sizes. And so some of them are mom and pop shops, probably can't afford to have somebody dedicated on staff, but how are you doing it? And do you need somebody on staff?
I need somebody on staff, but I can't afford somebody on staff. So I do it. I do a lot, pretty much all of it. I come up with a lot of the ideas, but I have, you know, we have a local person in the community that the company that does the radio ads. They also have a magazine here in town. So they like, we have a contract with them. I'll kind of give them ideas of like, this is kind of what I'm thinking as far as radio ads go. We kind of go, you know, figure that out. And then I try to take those ideas and that's going to be kind of what I do on social media and things like that too. So I try to make it as consistent as possible as far as what we're going to be doing that month, maybe, or what message are we trying to get out there to the community? Is it different than we've already done it? Well, you know, we've been doing the same. That's the other thing just to keep in mind, if you're wanting to get started on branding, is when you start spending money on marketing, your ROI, you're seeing that pretty quickly. Branding can take 6 months or so before you ever have anybody really, you know, if you decide to do radio, like let's say they hear you a couple times every day or every couple times a week, it's going to take time before that message really starts to get out there in the community and people will start calling you just because they heard you on the radio. So it's just different that way too. But it is an investment because you aren't going to have that immediate ROI. And it does take time because you have to really think about it. So the mom and pop shops, I feel you, because that, you know, we're not a huge company either. And it is hard to find time, but it's just whenever you feel inspired, jot something down if you think it would work and try it. You just never know.
Yeah, right. And so, I mean, somebody who wants to get started with branding but may not have the time and energy that you have, what is the kind of first kind of branding that you would do, the low-hanging fruit? And then what are the things that you're, the more advanced stuff that you're doing that maybe it's the last thing they should add to their stack, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, if you're starting with branding, I mean, I think you first need to really know what your company, what you want that message to be. Like, what do we stand for? Or what services are we, what is our niche type of thing? You know, do you have a logo, or do you have like a mission or a vision? Do you have core values? Kind of start there and trying to figure out what that brand kind of looks like. Would be the first thing that I would say that you would need to do. The low hanging fruit. I mean, everybody has social, you could start branding on social media. It's just not going to be call, you know, 10% off or call now, free estimates or things like that. It's going to be more of what are you doing? You know, what are you maybe doing in the community? Maybe that's part of your brand, is how much you invest in the community. You know, what actually makes you stand out? Start there, because that's free for the most part, unless you decide to sponsor it. Because that's, you know, going to be the best when it comes to budgeting anyways. And then it depends on your community. I know every community is a little different. Is it a magazine? Is it a really big magazine or something in your community? Or is it radio? Do people do radios? Or is it like a local TV show? I don't know, where you could start branding. It's just different for everybody, so it's hard to say that. Just maybe start figuring out, like I said, like we went off of a pest control company. Is there a company in your community that you know is doing a really awesome job? Maybe ask them what they do in the community and what works for them and what doesn't work. It doesn't, like I said, it doesn't have to be a painting company. We're just behind everybody else, you know, roofers, even like all these other industry people in the construction industry aside, and any other company, they're all more advanced than the painting industry. We got into this game a little bit too late. So asking around also will be very beneficial to you. Don't reinvent the wheel.
You know, to go back to the, to use examples of other industries, I think it's interesting in the grocery business, even though there are different brands in every city, they tend to be owned by the same big company. But then you've got a company like Sprouts who tries to be, I think their brand is healthier, even though they don't go as far on the healthy continuum as Whole Foods does. And then you got Trader Joe's, who just tries to seem cool and hip. And, you know, we just got a Trader Joe's a year or two ago in our town, and it was fascinating to watch the public either embrace or reject Trader Joe. Some people, maybe their target market, I don't want to put it, say, oh, that's hip and young, but some people just love the Trader Joe's brand. Oh, you know, these are different brands, different food. This is so fun. This is so cool and different. Other people are like, what the hell? The place was mobbed. You can't get around. Who do these people think they are? And it was, yeah. But Trader Joe's is doing fine. And I think it's also, from what listening to you talk about branding, Lacey, it's a great sort of next step or continuation of what any business owner should be doing, which is to find your why. What kind of business do I want my business to be? What is my mission statement? Why am I even doing this? Because if you can't delineate, if you can't communicate why you matter and why you're special, then you need to. You need to go back and figure it out. Figure it out, and then as part of branding, okay, now I need to make sure that I'm doing my best to communicate what I see to my customers. And again, this is where we come to your opportunity to completely disagree with what I just said.
No, I definitely don't disagree at all. I think as you were saying that, I was thinking again, like painting joy into people's homes. If you're gonna have a brand, and or if it's something like that, for instance, like we now do customer service training with our team, because you can't say that we're going to provide 5-star service and paint joy into your home if the people that we employ don't know how to have a conversation and how to have good customer service, how to shake your hand. So it really has to encompass your whole, everything you do, to an extent. You know, I'm sure like you use Yeti, maybe all their employees are hike it on their lunch break. You know, you just never know. that's what I envision.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Behr. Behr paint helps save time and money. From paint formulated to help you get great coverage, hide, and a smooth uniform finish, to free job site delivery, preferred pricing for pros, and the lowest price per gallon on Bear paint, guaranteed only at the Home Depot. Bear is committed to help you finish every job efficiently so you can move on to the next one. For more information, go to bear.com/pro.
So you're obviously very knowledgeable about this, Lacey. I mean, is there any resources that you've used that you would recommend? Any books that you've read that you really think someone should read that's kind of a branding 101?
I wish I did. I'm actually, I don't feel like I am. I also don't have a marketing degree or anything. I think it's trial and error for me. I do know, you know, there are like a Morgan Knox is, she's more experienced than I would be with a lot of this stuff. She would be, I always think of her when it comes to stuff like that. I know in the industry, there are a couple different people that help with this. Brenda Pierpont. There's a lot of people. I don't know about books and all that stuff. I just, this is all trial and error for me. I kind of learned this on the streets per se.
Well, Lacey, your brand, your personal brand is modest and knowledgeable, whereas my personal brand is cocky and unknowledgeable. So we're very different that way. By the way, since you're here, I've got to ask, you mentioned it, AI Painting Plus, your husband's name is Austin Ilsley. That's why it's called AI Painting. And you're talking about you'd love to change the brand. Is there a negative connotation that you think some customers hear AI painting and they think that robots are going to paint their house? What's the downside of having a company called AI Paint?
You know, it's kind of like back when the the yellow books and the phone books and everything were a big thing. Everybody, you know, A1, you know, it's like, I want to be the first in the book. And so I feel like see AI and their brain tells them A1. So that's one issue that I have, is that people get us confused with A1. And there is A1 companies in town and a painting company that's not just different, not us. And so that's one thing I don't love. And then the repetition of just having to explain to everybody that we're not, you know, again, where'd AI come from? Like, are there robots? Why? I'm like, no, it's just telling them the story. So what we've started doing is just, you know, we do have systems and processes for everything. And we have a lot of automations. So in that way, I guess AI kind of, but we're going to have humans that come and paint your house. And, you know,
that's funny.
Things like that. That's
funny.
It's more of an annoying thing. It's not horrible. It's just different. It's just annoying.
That's awesome. Well, Lacey Ilsley of AI Painting Plus in Columbia, Missouri, thank you, as always, for being on the podcast. This is really interesting stuff.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I always love getting on here and talking with you.
It is a pleasure, and this is why we're here, because, man, there's not a lot of new ideas out there, and we've got to take the time to spend time listening to other people's ideas, other people, hear what they're doing, because, man, it does trigger new stuff. And that's why APC is here. Go to paintmag.com. All of our resources are there, because nobody loves painting more than APC. So you will find kindred spirits at paintmag.com. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Paint Radio.